Hello, my children. Welcome to the jungles of recovery 101 radio, where we have our advertisement, the Bruce, Shelley, and Mark, learning us about the fellowships of all the ages. Most importantly, their favorites, the insanities. So join us, children, on this journey of recovery.
Thank you to Lori Faith for Marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA and AOA, CA, GA, PS, LA, SLA, ACR, RR, MM, DRA, HAPA. I said twice.
You said all the most of those twice. But that's okay. Keep going.
We don't speak for AA,
or NA.
AA? Or MA.
Is that Canadian AA?
AA. I'm going to go to AA. Yeah. God, think if you were at an AA meeting in Canada and you had to call AAA. Hey, I'm in an AA meeting, eh? I need AAA.
Hey? Don't you know?
There's a mouse in my beer.
Eh?
Does anybody even know that? Doug and...
Yes.
Doug and Tim. All right. So, hi, Shelley. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B.
As always with, which you did not say, Shelley...
I can shake it up a little.
And?
The other guy.
And a cast of 1,000.
So we're in Vegas. I'm not 100% convinced everyone here is sober.
I'm not convinced everyone here. I'm not convinced everybody here is here.
And the funny thing is, the only person in here who probably actually does drink is the one that seems the least drunk.
I
so
know.
We got all these sober people in here, and the one who actually drinks is like over like napping on Rhonda's shoulder. Everyone else is like,
that's because we're about to hit our stride.
Oh, yeah. Sin City, Vegas style.
I'm about to hit something, but I don't know if it's my stride.
How's your day been, Shelley?
Well, other than the fact that my computer wouldn't connect to the internet, and then in my irritation at not being able to connect, I left the mouse in the bed, and housekeeping swooped it up with the sheets, I think.
You had a mouse in bed?
So my computer mouse.
I'd have brought my cat if I'd have known.
My special computer mouse that cost more than...
I'd have brought my special real cat.
Which costs more than a cheap one.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's purple, and it has butterflies on it, and it lights up and stuff, so it's, you know...
Butterflies and rainbows?
Yes, it's fancy.
It's a perfect world.
I could have a mouse with duct tape on it. You know, I really don't care. As long as it gets my arrow where I need it to go, it's all good.
Okay, I liked my mouse, and now it's somewhere in the bowels of housekeeping at the Artisan Hotel in Las Vegas.
So I'm sure you can find it.
On that, you could have stuck it to something, you'd still have it.
Anyway, there was that. The hotel where we're staying is kind of like...
The Haunted House, right?
Yes, the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland.
Yes.
Only without the track and the little cars.
Well, they didn't spend as much money on it.
And the fact
right.
That, and the fact that they have real ghosts, apparently...
And our door doesn't have a lock on it.
But it doesn't need it doesn't need a lock.
It has a lock.
No, it has the little latch you close.
It has
the door,
a lock
the little latch.
And a bolt.
The bar thing that goes across. Okay, it's really a bad sign when you go into your hotel room and the bar lock, you know, the chain lock thing, has been ripped out of the door.
No.
She has a point.
I'd like to know what the heck happened. And the emergency exit right outside our door has been jimmied so many times that it's barely hanging on.
Okay.
So this does not bode well. And the fact that I had to call housekeeping like 2 seconds after we got there to get new towels because the towels that were in there had clearly just been, like, they were old used towels that had just been folded and put back up on the thing.
That, I don't know. That's what Shelley said. I didn't get that impression, but...
I'm telling you...
Shelley was pretty sure of it
when
she saw it.
There was dirt on the towel that was sitting on the tub.
I don't know.
Was there a body bag in the bathroom?
She also said the bed was at an angle, and she was going to roll out of bed in the middle of the night. I laid on the bed. It seemed flat to me. Matter of fact, I thought I had an awesome sleep on that mattress. I thought it was great I'm going to go back and I'm going to pull the sheets off so I can see what kind of mattress it is, because I thought it was quite comfy.
Yeah, I pulled the sheets off last night to check for bed bugs. It's that kind of hotel.
And what kind of mattress was it?
I don't know. I didn't look.
You looked for bed bugs and you couldn't see the name?
No, I didn't look in the sense that I didn't...
Bed bugs usually hang out by the label. By the label.
Well, because they need something to read.
Yeah, they need something to read while they're hanging out.
But, and I also have... What am I, down $14?
Oh, man.
I don't know. You're down some of your money and you're down some of my money,
yes,
too.
Yes, I'm down 10 of mine. Well, I was down and then I got some back and then I'm down 10 of mine and... Five of yours.
Five of mine.
No, because I gave you... No, I didn't. I have
no,
to give you,
you
a dollar.
You gave me nothing back. No, you're in debt. In debt.
So far... And I've eaten way too much and I'm going to be sick next week. So far, Vegas is not my favorite thing. But the funny thing is I love Vegas usually, but we're staying at the wrong place. We need to stay at the Mirage.
I'm good here.
I'm good in this room right here. I could stay in this room with Mark and Debbie... And they could be in the other room, and I could have plenty of space.
Mark's giving me that weird look.
Our room's about as big as from the end of that couch there to the wall.
Yes, that's how small our room is.
So it's like, I don't know. It's not that small, but it's small compared to this. Because this is a suite. And this is on a floor that you're supposed to ask security if you can come to the floor and show them a key. We haven't done that yet, but there is a time of day it'll start.
It's going to get to that time soon.
How's your day, Mark?
My day's good.
What's up?
I drove here and been hanging out with you guys.
What could be
I'm
better?
Sorry.
What could be better?
What could be better than that?
Drove up here. I think we hit every outlet mall on the way.
Well, Demi said she was
then
going
she went out
and then,
to another
and
one.
Then when we started this, she went to the other outlet mall where she has texted me 3 times telling me what a wonderful afternoon she's having. And here I am with you guys doing this.
I'm sorry.
How much has she spent?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's always a bad sign.
We could stop and go down to the casino or the buffet.
Or we could all sneak down to the outlet mall and surprise her.
That would be funny.
That would probably ruin her day because she's probably
We'll take
really
the mics with
it.
Us.
Excuse me, Mom. She'd be like,
what have you spent today?
I saw a great video the other day on from this guy named Mark Dice, and he was talking to what he calls zombie Americans, and he was asking them if they knew what Independence Day was. It was like 4th of July weekend. He's like, sir, can you tell me what Independence Day is? And the guy's like, I don't really remember. He goes, it's just like a day you drink beer, right? And he goes, yeah, like that. And then he started to like really like mix it up, and he'd be like, so, sir, are you, he says, you're a Mexican-American. The guy goes, yeah. And he goes, does it feel weird celebrating Independence Day when we celebrate our independence from Mexico? He goes, does it feel weird to you being a Mexican-American citizen and celebrating that? And they're like, no, not at all. No, it's like you guys celebrate Cinco de Mayo. And I'm like, no one is catching on at all. Then he's telling people, do you remember who we, seceded from, and they're like, and he goes, and they go, China. He goes, that's right, China. It's like these guys didn't know anything. It was horrible.
I did a Patriot quiz on Facebook. I got 50 out of 50.
Yeah. This is the generation coming up that we're going to be expecting to take care of us as we get older.
The most right questions about Independence Day was some guy who was a German citizen. And he looks at the camera and goes, really? You're asking me what Independence Day is for?
It's a movie with Will Smith, isn't it?
And he's like, do you know who we celebrated it from? And he goes, England. He goes, you know when we signed that? And he goes, July 4th, 1776. And
no.
He's like, that's right.
July 2nd, 1776.
They finished on July 4th. And you got 100%, 50 out of 50?
Yeah. It's actually the... It's a,
oh!
I didn't get that wrong.
Oh.
I said July 2nd. That's when it was signed.
And when was it finished being signed?
Oh! I think actually the reason it's the July 4th is because that's it took 2 days for it to get to all the 13 colonies.
I think it was July 4th because they didn't have the hot dogs there on the 2nd.
I think so.
Or the beer, and the beer wasn't cold yet.
Yeah,
we got to wait for the beer.
Because they brought the beer over from England. And it wasn't cold when it got here because they didn't drink cold beer.
Time to make your own.
That's right.
So.
Bill says it was printed on the 4th.
So.
I think it was the hot dogs and the beer and the fireworks. So what? Do you want to like do something?
There are scenarios there too. Maybe it was bratwurst.
Do you want to do something here? Is that like you keep
like
going
a show?
So? This is the show. This is what it looks like.
This is the show that never ends. It just goes on and on,
oh
my friends.
God. Sherry Lewis and Lamb Chop.
Oh.
You know what used to really get me about that show? Sherry Lewis and Lamb Chop. So she's got her little sock puppet there with Lamb Chop. And I'm thinking, the only time you refer to lamb as Lamb Chop is when you're about to cook it. Right? Otherwise, it's lamb. So I'm looking at this little puppet, and it's Lamb Chop, and I'm thinking, she's about to throw that thing in the oven. I don't know. Maybe it was the acid.
It might have been the acid.
So, we have a topic, Mark.
We do.
Yes, we do.
And what is it, Bruce?
Oh, and by the way, folks, we have no boozy news because we're in Vegas, and there's, of course, no news in Vegas.
Ever.
Brian tried to send us some.
But we'd already used that one.
I know. Who's Brian? We know who Brian is now, though.
I know. It's very exciting.
So, Shelly, what's the topic?
Topic is first drink, last drink, or first drug, last drug, or, you know, what happened at the beginning, what was the last thing, that kind of thing. That's, you know, and whatnot.
Okay. Shelly?
Yes?
First drink.
I think it was the night after my high school graduation.
Late bloomer.
I went to a party with my best friend who lived across the street. And they had beer.
Come on, get happy.
And then they had less beer because I drank a bunch of it. And then I threw up. And I don't remember what happened after that.
Parents involved?
No, because, well, her parents, my best friend's parents, because she was picking us up. My parents had no idea what was going on.
Her parent didn't tell your mom and dad?
Her mom and my mom did not get along.
Oh, perfect for you.
Yeah, so that worked out really well for me.
So you get hammered at your friend's house. Your mom and her mom don't get along, so she doesn't rat on you at all.
Right.
I've been over there every fucking night. Every night.
Yeah, that was the first. So from the gate, I'm drinking to get drunk.
Now, how about the drugs?
I know.
First drug.
Aspirin? I don't know. I never did. Huh?
Did you snort it?
No, I just swallowed it with water. Because I was too afraid of getting caught. I had friends that did a lot of drugs, especially back in that day. The big thing back then was crank in my high school.
Crank. Peanut butter crank.
It was crank.
I could make
crystal methamphetamine.
Crank and jelly sandwiches.
Yeah, but I never did street drugs or anything like that because I was afraid of getting caught and going to jail. I was a little wussy chicken. So.
Okay. So you never did like a shot of, you've never had like, I don't know, dilaudid or anything like that?
Hello, I was in the hospital having chest pains after having a heart attack. They said, would you like a painkiller? I said, yes, please.
Yes.
So, I'm just asking the first and last time.
Are you going to pick one or shall I?
I'm just picking the first and last time.
Well, and no, because the last time I drank was when I had my relapse. I drank
an entire bottle of vodka.
Drank an entire bottle of vodka in about 2 seconds. It was an airline bottle.
Chugged it.
And then because I damaged my inside so badly.
Ounce and a half bottle.
I damaged my inside so badly with alcohol that 10 minutes later I was back up because my body does not want to accept it.
So technically that wasn't like you even drank it.
Well, it's all about intent.
Is that all it's about?
To drink it. And what irritated me was I lost 6 months of sobriety for nothing.
Wait.
What?
So if I said right now, I intend to go do a pound of cocaine, I'm
you don't even
out.
Have to do it.
You're done.
I don't even have to do
it.
Done.
You're done.
You're done.
I'm already out.
Cooked.
You know what I mean.
Oh, you know what? I got it.
What?
I'm going to go to someone that's not even in the program yet, and I'm going to say, do you intend to get sober someday? They're going to go, yeah, go, you're already sober.
No, you know what I mean. No, you know what I mean. The intent thing, it's like when I had a sponsee that... No, it wasn't a sponsor. It was actually my sponsor, I think.
Those are different.
Yes. No, it was my sponsor because she was doing a gig, and you know, she's playing a gig, and half the people and they're playing at a restaurant and bar grill thing.
Student, now teacher.
And like six drinks lined up. She grabbed what she thought was her Diet Coke, and it wasn't. But the intent was not to drink. She spit it out right away. So that means she didn't go out because that was not her intent. However, I have another. This one was my sponsee who had a few sips of beer. And then everybody's saying, oh, but that doesn't mean that you went out. And I'm like, yes, it does, because your intention was to drink the beer.
I had a half a bottle of scotch once. But I didn't intend to drink. I wanted to snort cocaine, but I couldn't find any. So my intent was to snort coke. I didn't intend to drink.
You're still sober, though.
Okay, perfect. Apparently. Just checking.
Oh,
what would your
and this wasn't even the topic, and we
what
just kind of got off.
What would your sponsor do in that situation next time?
Oh, what she did was she started taking her own little cold cups with a screw-on lid to put her Diet Coke in.
No, I mean the next time.
Huh?
The next time.
The next time what?
What would she do the next time?
The next time what?
That happens.
We're not. Oh, you're trying to mess with me, and we're not going to go there. I'm going to send the mic down here. You guys can talk, and then we'll go around the room again.
Okay, Terry. First drink.
First drink.
First whatever.
The first whatever. Well, shoot. I first drunk that I can remember. Can barely remember. I woke up in jail the next morning.
Oh, wow. That's a good way to start.
let's see. I was. We stole a bottle of 151 Bacardi.
You're my god.
And we sat in my friend's front lawn and started drinking. The next thing you know, I barely remember arguing with my father in his front yard, in our front yard. And the next thing I know, I'm waking up in jail. My last drunk. I think it's extremely important to always remember, you know, your point of defeat.
Your bottom.
And I don't believe you should ever forget that. And the last drunk, I was in my Chevy Blazer, heading on the 5 southbound, coming up on the Grapevine. I was just coming back from Davis, California, where I just blew everything between alcohol and cocaine. I'd wasted everything, every person that I could ever get in touch with. And thinking about taking my car and actually running it over off a cliff. And that was the moment where I just screamed, help. That was my point of defeat. I had less than a quarter tank of fuel in my gas tank. I'm in my Chevy Blazer looking at the Grapevine in the silhouette of the mountains coming up. I had absolutely no money. I didn't know what I was going to do. So I prayed. I don't know how it happened, but I was able to make it through the Grapevine, over the 210, into Pasadena, came into the first gas station I came to. My intent was to search my car for change to get to the rest of the way home. And opened my door, and the first person I see, I said, this is the first time I've ever had to do this, but I asked him for some change. And I just felt like that was it at that point. And he just looked at me and handed me a $20 bill. And I was able to put that in my gas tank, make it the rest of the way, and I made it to a recovery home from that point. And incomprehensible demoralization I felt, I never, ever want to forget that.
Awesome. Brian.
Who's Brian?
Drug.
My first drinker drug. You know, I've spent a long time thinking about this. And I can't remember. It must be about 7 or 8 years old. You know, I accidentally, on purpose... accidentally on purpose took too much asthma medication.
Accidentally on purpose.
And the room started doing funny things. You know, ever since then, it was on. And my first drunk, I remember that. We were at a high school football game passing around some screwdrivers. And I woke up in my friend's sister's bed in a pool of my own puke.
Oh, yay.
But that didn't stop me either. You know, I am what the professionals call a poly-substance abuser.
Oh, my God. I have a guy that says that all the time.
I have drugs of choices. But, you know, my last high really was just October last year. I have a picture of it.
I'll bet you do.
Yeah, I do. I you know, I just remember coming out of the bathroom after doing a good John Belushi, thinking, wow, that was a good one. You know, and kind of sitting down and waking up soaking wet because, you know, my friend on federal parole tried to revive me, which didn't really work. You know, he's doing CPR and his girlfriend's doing chest compressions. You know, I come to, it's kind of like that Pulp Fiction movie where the chick was ODing and got to sit straight up. You know, I sit straight up and I see all these uniforms thinking, I'm going to jail. And
isn't that funny? It's the first thing you think of, shit, I'm going to jail.
Exactly.
Not like, hey, I'm breathing. That's good.
Yeah, so, you know, I get the lecture from them. You know, the cops come. I didn't have any warrants. I didn't, you know, they didn't take me in. And so, you know, here it was. You know, I didn't die and I didn't go to jail. And it was just a few days after that, I tried to clean up. And, you know, it was rough cleaning up off of heroin. So I checked myself into detox. And then, since then, I changed my clean date because of coming off of Suboxone. You know, and I was almost as sick off the Suboxone as I was at heroin.
That's a big thing right now. Man, I see it on a bunch of NA pages where people, there's this big argument going on, you know, if you take Suboxone, are you clean? And it seems like the general consensus, at least that I can see, is everyone says, no, you're not. But then there's always those guys, well, yeah, I am. Yeah, I am. I'm clean. And then all the other NA people are like, no, you're not. I don't know.
Yeah, I was holding on to that for a long time.
So you changed yours.
Yeah, I changed my clean date because of that, because I was so sick coming off the Suboxone that you know, because what, 6 months really in the long
run? Wow.
So, yeah. And my last drunk, that was hideous too. You know, calling my 84-year-old mother-in-law some choice names because we were on a 2-week vacation in a small van. With the, oh, I'm not even going to go through that.
Down by the river.
Yeah, it was nasty.
All right. Now, this one should be interesting. Amanda, first drink. Now, understand, folks, Amanda isn't going to have, like, last drink here because she's
first drunk.
She's a normie.
Right.
She's
so,
a normie.
But she has parental units in the area, and they might not know what her first drink was.
Nope.
They may not even know. This could be big news.
Interesting that she picked the topic.
All right, well, I mean, first drink, I'm not technically going to count because I had like a sip of wine at my first communion.
That doesn't
that
count.
That type of stuff. So first drunk, time to where, I mean, I had had a beer or something before, but time where I actually really got drunk was because of tequila. And... it was probably just about me and about six of my guy friends that I would always call my brothers because we were all very close. And we were sitting out on my porch playing poker, just doing shots of tequila together and having a good time. And next thing you know, I mean, I had this house. So in my room, I had this like spare closet that I actually turned into a pantry so I could lock everyone out of it, so that no one would take all my food. So me and my friend, one of my friends, we went in there to go get some chips and stuff. Well, I also had some of these weed Rice Krispies that we decided it would be a great idea to get these things out. So next thing we swallow it, we're shoving them in each other's mouth. Oh, here, have some more. So everyone's laughing at us. Next thing you know, we're crying about my dad passing away and having a good time crying about all the good memories. And next thing you know, now we're out on the front porch and we're all taking more shots to my dad. Then all of a sudden I stood up and I was like, you know what? I'm too drunk. I'm going to go throw up. And I did that. I literally did that. I was very clean about it. However, I still decided I needed to brush my teeth and take a full shower. So
brush your teeth is always a good idea.
I took a full shower,
brushed my teeth.
Because
there's nothing like
teeth,
minty puke.
Put myself to bed.
There's nothing like minty puke to make everything okay.
Right?
So, Rhonda.
You don't get to comment on the last story. This is yours.
Yeah.
Man.
First drink, last drink, Rhonda.
That's right.
Okay, my first drink, I was 13. My boyfriend at the time, first boy I ever kissed, came to my bedroom window at 6 o'clock in the morning with a bottle of Jack Daniels.
At 6 Aww. O'clock in the morning.
How romantic.
He's an alcoholic. So,
and we drank shots of Jack Daniels,
God,
and then we went jogging.
And went jogging. Yeah.
This became a ritual we would do every morning.
Fail video.
We would
three,
go jogging two, and then come one. Back and to my house and make pancakes before school.
Oh, my God.
My parents never knew. My dad was already at work. My mom was sleeping. And this went on for quite some time.
Wow.
And it was fun. I'd walk to school buzzed every day. So by the time school started, you know, a lot of it had worn off. But those were my first, you know, times drinking. And my last drunk was about 4 months after rehab, years and years later. And I went over to a friend of mine's house, and he had this one, for 4 months, I'd go over and visit him every now and then, and he had this one beer in the door of his refrigerator. And same beer was there 4 months later. Finally, I said, you know, I know I'm an addict, but I don't know that I'm an alcoholic, so can I have that beer that's in the door of the fridge? And he said, sure. So I drank that beer, and 2 12-packs later and a bottle of vodka the next morning,
she was.
I realized that, you know, I just didn't have control, that I had no longer
nice.
Could control the outcome of my drinking, and I haven't had a drink since.
Yay! Bill.
Oh, let's see here. I can't remember my first drink because I was drinking beer before I could remember.
So what's the first drink you remember?
The first drunk I ever had.
That's the one.
Was I was in second grade, and I'd finally gotten tall. If I put the chair and I stood on the chair, I got tall enough to hit the liquor shelf. So instead of drinking beer, I got to the whiskey and the scotch and all the other good stuff. And I can remember sitting there drinking a whole bottle of Four Roses whiskey. And yeah.
But to a kid, that's bombastic right there.
It's got edges.
Oh, it used to be good stuff. It used to be a good brand of whiskey, you know, and then there was the brandy, you know, 100-year-old brandy bottles and stuff like that. And you know, my dad was an alcoholic, but he liked beer like I did, and so he had everybody give him alcohol bottles of whiskey, and he'd get, you know, all these great fancy Jamesons and all that. Fancy scotches and stuff, and I was drinking all them up, and no one noticed because he didn't. So I spent most of my first time around second grade. I say first time around second grade because I was kept back because of my drinking in second grade. I failed second grade because of drinking, and that's because I switched from beer to hard stuff. That's my excuse, you know. That hard stuff's what did it, you know. It wasn't the beer, it wasn't the drinking, it was drinking that. You know,
right?
Yeah. Different. You know, we have to change, switch from brandy to health wines and stuff right. like that. Yeah, health wine. You know,
health wines.
Yeah,
the ones with fruit in them, like Annie Green Springs.
Yeah,
yeah.
Strawberry Hill.
Ripple.
How about last?
Oh God, which last? The last was just. My usual modus operandi was it was the same as always. I drink until I couldn't physically drink anymore. I drink up all my money. I was sitting in a one-room apartment that I had rented, and basically a mother-in-law place behind some guy's house. And it was filled top to bottom with beer cans and five-liter wine boxes, and they finally hauled me out to the VA to start getting treatment, and I moved in with somebody who was clean and sober, and I'm still there, doing where I am now.
Awesome.
That's it.
Fran's ready to applaud for everyone. Fran, first drink, last drink.
I already did my first drink at the last show. I'm going to talk about my first drug.
You had your first drink at the last show
talk
we did?
About your first drug.
That's right.
My first drug started out with pills. And I had a fascination with the little orange baby aspirin at a pretty young age. I would eat them all out of the bottle. And then that progressed into the ninth grade when I bought my first joint. Well, that's not a pill. But
yeah, well.
It's okay.
And then
got you where you were headed.
My dad used to take nitroglycerin tablets, you know, for...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Those were that niacin stuff.
They were little, and it looked like little bitty, you know, candy.
It would light you up, though.
Yeah.
And I would take them, and it would dissolve under your tongue.
Oh, yeah.
And my heart would become like this.
Yeah, and your face would turn red. And, yeah.
And I would take it to school.
Huh?
Well, okay. I'm done.
She didn't say, Shelly says, why is it fun?
Why was it fun?
Yeah. Why was that fun?
It wasn't fun, but...
It wasn't fun.
It was just something that I did, and it was a feeling, and I don't know why I did it. I don't know why I had a fascination with little pills.
Well,
Shelly, you got drunk 42 bazillion times. Why was it fun? See?
It wasn't fun.
See?
No, it wasn't. Okay.
Last one.
My last drunk.
Or whatever.
I remember prior to my last drunk, standing at my window looking out, thinking there's got to be something better than this, and saying a prayer, God, please help me. I've got the answer. I'm going to go to confession. So I got in my car, went heading towards confession. Oh, I need to stop and get gas. So I stopped at the Tiger Mart.
At the what?
The Exxon Tiger Mart. It's
Mart.
In Nashville, Tennessee.
Man, I had to go with me to get to the Tiger Mart.
Goodlettsville, Tennessee. Well, I ended up getting a quart of beer, put it in a great big cup, heading to the confession. Well, I drank the beer, and then I got to the confession, and I changed my mind. I felt better. So I went to Rio Bravo. It was a Mexican restaurant. It's not there anymore. Uh-oh. It's on West End in Nashville, Tennessee.
It's not there anymore after what I did to it.
And I drank two pitchers of margaritas.
Ooh.
Pre-game.
4 ounces of margaritas.
And that was my last drink. I didn't know at the time it was going to be my last drunk. Because I'm kind of like, if I had known, I might have drank more. But it turned out I did make it to the confession. And he gave me $20. So we have something in common. You know, when I was in a situation, I needed help, and he gave me $20 off.
So you could get some more tequila.
And it was my first gratitude. So that's it for me. That's my last drunk.
Mark, first drink or drug, probably drink.
First drink, I remember. I mean, I actually have a movie of me drinking beer when I was like about 2 years old. But I don't remember it. I've seen it, but I don't remember it. I do remember my parents having a party when I was about 5 years old. And they had a keg of beer. And the party was in the patio on the side of the house. and they didn't get up early the next morning. However, I did. And they had these red cups that were sitting all over the place. And it took me about 30 seconds to figure out how to make the beer come out of the keg. And I don't know how much beer you're supposed to drink before you've drank too much when you're five. It's not nearly as much as it was when I was 20.
Yeah.
So, but that was my first drunk. First high. First time using cocaine. I've told the story many times. Did a favor for a friend. As a thank you, he gave me a big rock of cocaine. Didn't know what to do with it. Took it home and woke my sister up.
Your sister knew what to do.
She knew exactly what to do with it. And
look at that. Let me help you. Let me show you how to do that.
Yep, and we played backgammon for 30 straight hours. And snorted it all.
The first time you get loaded, you're getting loaded, but you're doing something kind of normal just for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
We played backgammon. And people are like, really? So you got like loaded as hell on cocaine and you played backgammon.
For 30 hours. Yeah, so. But, you know, that was the time when my excesses knew no bounds.
And that's when it worked.
And yeah, I mean, I went back the next day. Well, the next time I got up after I went to sleep.
The next time.
Yeah, the next time, and went and wanted to get another one. And then guy told me it was $1,800 an ounce, and I was going to buy one of whatever he told me, so I thought that's how you buy it. So I picked up an ounce and went on my merry way.
Amazingly enough, I told your story about that.
Uh-huh.
To the guy down there who is Rocky Mountain Candy.
Yeah.
I go in, I'm going to buy some fudge.
Uh-huh.
And I go, I don't even know how much fudge to get. And the guy goes, well, most people get about a quarter pound.
Okay.
And I said, okay.
Yeah.
And I told him that story of you. And I said, what you should do is tell him that most people get a pound. And then see what they say. I said, because my friend, he didn't even know. He just said, okay, how much is that for an ounce? And the guy told him, he goes, okay, well, then I'll have an ounce.
I'll take one.
He didn't even ask if you could get it in a lower quantity.
Yeah.
So when someone comes in and asks you,
because that story works across all sales levels.
It should. You know, you come in, how much do people normally get? A pound. Okay, I'll have a pound of fudge.
Yeah, yeah. And if not, they'll say, well, let me get half that.
Yeah.
And you still sold twice as much. It's an upsell thing.
So how about the last time?
My bottom. My bottom was...
Not the time when someone almost took you out again, but the last time.
No. Well, the last, you know, the last time, it's really funny, the last time was after my bottom.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the last time you use is necessarily your bottom. You know where your bottom is. My bottom wrapped around 4 days and $8,000 and doing cocaine constantly for a long weekend.
Right.
And not getting high. And, you know, it quit working. I was in a meeting the other night, and I was listening to somebody share, and they were talking about sitting and getting loaded and just crying, wishing they could quit. God, why am I doing this? I never had any of that. I'm not kidding you. The last freaking time that I sat down and I got loaded, it didn't work. But I had no idea what you go do at that point. I just know it quit working. And before, I mean, I had never heard of AA, NA, CA. Well, CA was an infant at that time.
Yes.
I had never heard of a 12-step program. I did not know what to do. I just knew that I used to have to drive my aunt home when she came to visit my mother. And I hadn't had to do that for like several years. So I asked her what she did. And that's when she took me to a meeting and I learned about the 12-step programs. But I didn't know. Like, I didn't have this thought of, why can't I just go get clean sober? It wasn't even on the radar screen even the last week that I was out there. It was just like, oh, crap. I need to find something. Mm. But I didn't know what to do. So I don't know if I'd have known if I'd have gotten clean any quicker. But the last time was just, you know, the bottom was just stupid. The last time was like, I don't know, gram and a half in one night and
yeah, it's funny how sometimes
meeting.
The last one doesn't.
Yeah.
My last one, which I'll tell you about in a minute,
not nearly spectacular, stellar. Huh?
No, not really a spectacular story at all.
Yeah.
Which neither was my first. Now, my first mm-hmm. drunk might have been more, you know, you guys have all heard it a bunch of times. My first beer was with my uncle on a fishing trip. And I just wanted to be like him, and I drank one, and then I drank another one. And you know, and I hated it, and then I was like, ooh, I like it. I hated it at first, and then I liked it. But my first drunk, my friends and I were ones that would raid the parents' liquor cabinet of whatever. And the thing is, we didn't really know. The first few times I drank, I didn't know, like, the difference between, like, vodka and gin and whiskey. I just didn't know. To me, it was all synonymous with booze. You know, to me, booze, it could have been wine, it could have been tequila, it could have been vodka, it really didn't matter. And we made screwdrivers, because screwdrivers sounded sort of healthy, you know, vitamin C and stuff. But we made screwdrivers with Tang, because we didn't have any orange juice. So what we did is we took a tumbler full of vodka and filled it with vodka and put a couple scoops of Tang in it. So it made what we thought was a screwdriver.
Strangely enough, that's how we made them at the end, too.
Yeah, and I remember drinking it, and I got to be honest, mostly it kind of had that sort of medicine-y taste, you know, that you sort of get with hard alcohol, and I didn't really like that, but to be honest with you, it mostly tasted like Tang. And at first, on the way down, it tasted like Tang. On the way up, it tasted like something horrible.
Tastes like dog shit.
And then my last time ever was so not exciting. I had been I was completely out of money. I was doing lots of whatever I could get on, you know. So I can't even say I was doing lots. I was doing whatever I could get my hands on. And I would go to this one guy's house, and I would get speed from him, and I would look around his room for something I could swipe to take to my other dealer to trade them for something to get. So I've been doing this for days and days, back and forth, because these guys didn't know each other. You know, back and forth and back and forth. I've been stealing some here, trading back and forth. And I go over there one day to this house, and this girl goes, Bruce, come here. Pushes me out the door, out towards the car. He goes, come here, get in the car. And I'm like, I'm here to see Judge. Get in the car. And I'm like, why are we getting in the car? And she goes, do you know someone named Carol? And I'm like, yes. And she goes, well, Carol and Joe just met. And he seems to think that there's a lot of his shit in her place, and she thinks there's a lot of her stuff in his place. And they pretty much think it's all because of you. And I'm like, oh, that's not good. And
but good deduction.
Immediately, she looks at me and she goes, like, 100, she goes, well, I'm just telling you this because I like you. You know, and I said, oh. And she goes, besides, what are you looking for? And I said, well, I'm looking for a quarter gram. And she goes, oh, I can get that for you. As we always do. So my very last getting loaded was a quarter gram, which didn't really seem to do that much for me, on the heels of hearing I'm about to get my ass kicked by two different dealers.
And one's a chick.
Which are really my only dealers I have left.
And one's a chick.
And one's a chick, and they both hate me. And that was it. I was like, I did that, and when I was done with it, I was like, I guess that's it. I mean, I really did. I was like, I kind
of
look at my...
Did you hear Frank Sinatra in the back of your head?
I guess that's it. Yeah, sort of.
And now...
The end is near.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what time is the
final curtain? Huh?
What time is it?
It's that time. It's well past that time, actually.
So, Mark.
Yeah.
Who's our friend back east? Oh, wait a minute.
Well, we are
really
not.
Have a final word on this.
Yeah, we don't have.
We all had words.
We all had words, and they all had.
Our final word is stop.
Yeah, So, it's over.
Mark?
Yes.
We have a friend back east.
Eddie Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription, and he'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you have a sober living or a recovery home or someplace where many of us sick gather, contact Bruce. He'll send you some hard copies of the 12-Step Gazette to strew about the facility.
Awesome. Shelly.
Huh? Yes.
People are listening to the shoe.
I'm sorry.
It's a really big shoe.
Any way that you listen to the show, we really appreciate it. But if you could go to our website, recovery101.net, click on one of the shows, click like or permalink. If you are a member of Podomatic, you've just been counted. Thank you very much. That helps us with our numbers. And if you are not a member, you will have the opportunity to become a member. It is free.
And fun.
And you can leave comments on old shows. You can leave topic suggestions. Please leave them on the top show so that Bruce sees them easily. You can follow us, which will get you automatic updates when we post the shows. And you can follow us daily, I think. Just don't follow us like a million times one day. And you can put us on your playlist for all your party needs.
So, it's a little late to come to the convention now.
That's right.
It wasn't really a convention. It was a get-together.
It was a gathering.
But in a few minutes, we are going to elect the committee to create the real convention next year.
Where's Paul?
Awesome.
I don't know where Paul is.
Paul was 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
An hour ago.
I said, sweet 2069, you say, gracias. It's funny. It's an English guy from Bangkok who's writing to me and texting me in Spanish. It's kind of weird. So if you are Facebook friendly, it's cool because if you want to join Podomatic, like Shelly just said, it's really easy. You can say log in with Facebook. To my experience, it doesn't post on your behalf ever. You have to tell it if you want it to post. And you can sign up in like 2 seconds. You can make an account like really, really fast. That way, you can like shows on Facebook, but it's better if you like them on the webpage because we get credit for that. If you are Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 Radio fan page. If you want to be anonymous, you can join the Recovery 101 group. That way you can be incognito. You can fly under the radar from your family and friends. Like, if you're an alcoholic, you're actually flying under the radar. Yeah. I thought I was flying under the radar, but not so much.
Yeah.
We have an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure as hell don't. Shelly, who's the lead on Music Bank?
Three Dog Night.
Chuck Negron and the Boys. Thanks for being in the peanut gallery, everybody.
Yay!
Wow.
Wow, that really maxed
everybody
out the board.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We are out.
And take care of you.
Scare me half to death. Open up the window, sucker. Let me catch my breath.